repeating what you said. Okay. There's a lot of distractions in life. All of us have distractions. And we can allow those to control our thoughts, our behaviors, almost every aspect of our life. But I think Henry's question is my heart right? Is my heart towards God? Am I wholeheartedly following Him? And this morning, that's hopefully the message that comes across, is that every one of us has the potential that God placed within us, within the giftings and talents He's given us, to do more than we can think or imagine. When Jeff asked me early this week if I would stand in for him this morning, he knew that I had a message that I'd been carrying for a while. But I was a little bit taken aback. Probably most of you have read the newsletter that he puts out every week, talk about what's going on in the church. And he put in a line about me, and it talked about the elder Mark Haugen. Well, all of a sudden I had a momentary age crisis. I thought to myself, okay, I finally recognized, okay, elder was a title and not a descriptive adjective, but it still impacted me. So I would rather use the term chronologically mature. But I guess that's one of the points I want to make, is in the Lord, He doesn't look at our age. He doesn't look at our strength. He doesn't look at our abilities. He looks at our heart. And that's where He can do His greatest work, in our lives, in the lives of everybody we touch. Now, we've been in a series, Jeff has, for several weeks now, and it's going to continue. And the theme is on earth as it is in heaven. And Marnie, you want to go ahead and start this slide series? And if I get off track, you'll have to round me up and rope me back in. Hopefully I'll follow my notes. I use the elderly form of a tablet. It's a tablet of paper. I'm not into the electronic tablet so much, but we'll give this a shot. But it comes out of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6:10. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The scripture that's been going through my mind for several months now comes out of Hebrews. It's Hebrews 10, 24, and 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. As we go through life, we all have difficulties. We all have temporary setbacks. And it is always empowering when people encourage us. Paul Cooper is one of those people. He's, for 5 years, 6 years now, he's been a source of continuous encouragement for me, along with my wife. And that makes a huge difference in all of our lives, to realize that there are people that God placed in our lives that are a source of incredible power as they speak God's word over each and every one of us. My prayer this morning is that you will be stirred up and encouraged and continue to walk the path that God has for each of your life. Most of what I'm going to share this morning has to do with pivotal events in my life personally that I hope and pray will be a testimony to three things. God's hand in our life. His grace and mercy in our life. Actually, four things. The power of the Holy Spirit and the prayers of the saints. In putting this message together, I began to take a retrospective look at what God has done over the last 31 years. And I realize that in spite of myself, God has been able to use me. And there's one person here that I want to mention specifically. Her name is Shelley Stiles. She's been here. She was here before we came here. We came here in December of 1990. She was here. And she is an incredible example of the power of prayer. In May of 1992, I was sitting not far behind where Henry is in one of the pews. And there was a gentleman that came. His name was Bob Hoskins. And he had started an organization called Life Publishers. And their goal was to reach children of school age with the gospel. Now, I don't know how many, were any of you here in May of 1992? Okay. Okay. So do you remember that when Bob came? Their organization has started this distribution in Central America. And it was very effective. What they did is they took the four gospels and harmonized them into one story. And then they had study questions at the end so that they could see if the children comprehended the gospel. It was so effective. And this is a true God thing. This was in probably 1990, 91 that they started this. In early 1992, the Russian Ministry of Education requested that they come in to that nation and distribute that Book of Life to every school child in that former communist nation. I want to give you a little bit of historical perspective. The Soviet Union was formed basically in the 19-teens, 1915 to 1920. And it had been controlled by the communists for over 70 years. And on December 26th, the day after Christmas in 1991, it was dissolved. Okay. That process had happened over a period of years because of the internal disintegration and the losing of power by the Communist Party. When that occurred, it was like taking your brain and removing it from your body. The entire nervous system, so to speak, of that former group of republics, there were 15 of them, had been severed. Lines of communication, means of transportation, commerce, everything changed overnight. There was a huge void in the fabric of the life of every single person in that nation. And we talk about nation, I'm talking about Russia now, but all of the former Soviet Union, all of those 15 countries. Enter God. People had seen everything that they'd worked for virtually destroyed. Just to give you an example, the currency of Russia, the ruble, In October of 1992, the exchange rate was 300 rubles to the dollar. In May of 1993, it was 900. By July, it was 1,200. In 1996, it had reached 5,000 to the dollar. And by the early 2000s, it was 30,000 to the dollar. So they did the same thing Mexico did. They just moved the decimal point over three places, so it didn't look so bad. But it's now about 80,000 or 80 to 1. So you had people that had a somewhat stable lifestyle, even though it wasn't good. They were used to it. So you had retired people that no longer had retirement that met their needs. We saw families with three generations, maybe 10 or 12 people live in a 900 square foot apartment. That's how devastating it was. So God opened a huge window of opportunity at that time as a result of Bob coming. And this is another only God moment. They were able to print and distribute a copy of the Book of Life for 25 cents. And they were printed, the ones that were done in the former Soviet Union were printed on a former communist printing press. God will use all means to reach all men. Their studies had shown that each one of those books impacted seven lives. So for $1, you could reach 28 people. And I was sitting there next to my wife. The statement I made was, this is the most outstanding investment in the kingdom I've ever heard of. So we did invest. And as a result of that investment, and as far as what the church did, it was kind of a scouting trip, like sending the spies into the promised land. Four ladies from the church went there in October of 1992. And I'm probably way off script, Marnie, so sorry about that. When they came back, they saw what God was doing. And the church, as a result of that, decided that they would send a group of people in the spring of 1993. At that point, my level of involvement became more complicated, but more active. You know, the Word of God and Revelations, I think I'm back on track now, tells us that we triumph over him, over the enemy, over Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Now, the blood of the Lamb is an absolute necessity, but the word of our testimony brings victory as well. Hopefully this morning, this testimony will give you a vision for what God can do in your life. We're not talking about having to go halfway around the world. We're talking about what you can do within your own sphere of influence. And it's not limited by your physical, financial, or other conditions. We can bring heaven to earth with our prayers. Every one of us. And that sphere of influence can cover the entire world. As you pray for missionaries, as you pray for Debbie and Roy, anybody that goes out, your prayer support is the most vital thing to every ministry across the face of the earth. Try to get back on track here. When my wife heard that the church was going to send a team of people to Russia. She instantly asked me, can we go? Now, she was inspired by a book by Brother Andrew called God Smuggler. Brother Andrew was a Dutch missionary who in the middle 1950s started smuggling Bibles into countries behind the Iron Curtain. And for her, that was inspirational. She was pretty persistent in her request. If those of you that know her know that that's part of her character. So I thought, well, this at least would be a situation I should research. As an engineer, that's one of the things I do. That's just part of my nature. So as I began to delve into the history and the geography, I found out that the city that they had assigned to us was a city called Tumen. It's in western Siberia. In 1959, the population was 300,000. And it was in 1959 that they discovered oil in the regions to the north. So it grew from 300,000 to, it doubled to 600,000 by 1993. And it continues to grow. It's a city of 900,000 now. But it was the first Russian city that had been founded and built by the Russians in Siberia. And it's known as the Gateway to Siberia. It's on the Trans-Siberian Railroad. So thousands upon thousands, probably millions of workers went through there on their way to the different mines and logging camps as they developed the resources in Siberia. Part of the research I did is I called Life Publishers office in Florida. I wanted to know what they knew about this city. Well, they only had 7 people on their staff in Moscow, and they were trying to cover most of the western portion of Russia, Ukraine, and other former Soviet republics. So they didn't have a great amount of knowledge. The one question I asked them that I thought was extremely important is, do you know if there are any Christian churches in this city of 600,000? And they said, we don't know. So I started thinking about that, and as I thought more and more about it, I thought, you know, this is a situation that's going to require more than 5 days by a team of people from this church to accomplish what God wants done in that city. Finally, I made the decision, and I told my wife, I said, and this was more like testing the waters. I said, if we go, we're going to stay for 2 months. And her eyes got about that big. She'd heard all these stories about the lack of food, the shortages, everything else, and she could see herself starving to death in Russia, in frozen Siberia, no less. But after the initial shock, she agreed, and there were 2 other mature Christians from this church, Bob Tyson and Janet Schilke, was Janet Shaw at that time, that agreed to go with us. And I felt that we had a team of people that could, as a minimum, contact people that were more mature Christian people and at least form some type of a fellowship there so that the work of God could continue and move forward after we left. Psalm 37:4. My wife delights in the Lord, as many of you do. And God gave her the desire of her heart. Oftentimes in life, all of us, as we delight in the Lord, there's times where we have to wait. We pray for loved ones. It doesn't happen. Time goes by, years, decades, but God is faithful and His promises are true. As a result of what God conceives in my heart in May of 1992 came to fruition in May of 1993, and there were 28 people from this church. And we joined forces with people from New York, Arizona, California, and Minnesota. So there were a group of 40 of us that actually made that trip. But a few weeks before we left, in fact, probably at least a month, my wife, she's a teacher. She was a school teacher. She's still a teacher. She tries to teach me, but I'm a slow learner. But she felt, because we didn't know what resources we had to work with, she felt it was an absolute necessity that we try and get resources to whoever we could find in leadership in that city. So she went around to every Sunday school class, and at that time the church was running about 700, 750 people, and she was able to raise over $3,000 for literature. She's an amazing woman. Without her, without the Lord especially, I don't know where I'd be today. Not where I am now, I'm sure of that. Marty, you want to put up the slide on the Book of Life? It's in Russian. Translates Book of Life. It's Kniga Zhizna, is how it's pronounced in Russian. And on this trip, we were able to distribute 50,000 copies of the Book of Life in the public schools. God opened the doors that no man could close. We were able to go into the public schools. Sometimes it would be an individual classroom of 30 children. Sometimes it'd be a full auditorium of high school students with 700. And we were able to give our testimonies, things you can't do here. And we were able to give salvation calls and messages and have children respond in public schools in a former communist, atheistic country. Only the hand of God could do that. I'm going to have you pull up the slide of Russia. Russia is an expansive nation, covers 13 time zones, about 150 million people. I've got some closer up slides, but up in the kind of the upper left-hand corner, there's two underlined cities. The upper one of those two is St. Petersburg. The lower one is Moscow. Tumen is a little bit to the left of center, just slightly below center. That's the city we spent our almost entire 2 months in. I went there. I had no expectations. I didn't know how God could use me. But He did. I think the message in that is if we're willing and if we're obedient, God can use us no matter what situation He puts us in. But this isn't a story or a testimony just about the two of us. This is about what the body of Christ can do. Because as one missionary that we know said, some go, but all send. Okay, there's some that are hands and feet, but it takes the entire body to move, to be effective. And this church along with other people that knew what we were doing, were a powerful force. And as I look back, things happen so fast, sometimes you don't realize and you don't put them in proper perspective. But after we got back and I started to recount all the things that God had done, I realized how powerful and effective the prayers of the people are in God's plan. Every one of us has that potential, no matter what limitations we think we have. We all have that ability and that power in the Lord to affect dynamic change throughout the world. One of Paul's favorite words is synergy. What that means is the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. Each one of us individually, there's only so much we can do. But as a unified body of Christ, we can do more than we can think or imagine. There were some pivotal events during that time. Some individual, almost seemingly insignificant things that occurred that over time played out to be major. And it seems like God was weaving a thread through the tapestry of my life and has been for over 30 years. When we arrived in Moscow at the international airport, as we were going through customs, just behind us there was another group of Christians from Northern California, and they were ministering in another city. It'll show up a little bit later on one of the other maps. It was 1,000 miles away. This is the group. My wife stands out. She's on the right there in a red coat. And I kind of stand out. I'm the tall guy in the back. Maybe some of you recognize some of the other people. But when we arrived at customs, this other group was there. And our pastor at the time, Dennis Noble, exchanged contact information with some of the people from that group. And just seemed like a regular thing to do. Didn't think too much about it. But later on in this testimony, you'll find out the significance. But little did I know. That night when we arrived in the hotel, if you want to show that next slide, Marnie, we were eating dinner in the dining hall. And on the far right and straight behind, facing the camera, husband and wife, and he introduced himself. We had interpreters. Without that, it would have been impossible to do all this. This was a man who was a pastor in a small village of 800 people. And he had moved his entire family from near the Polish border, 1,800 miles, to a city of 800 people, out in a remote agricultural area of Siberia, because God told him to. There was not a single person in that village that was a Christian at the time. But when God tells you to do something and you do it, he will honor that. So a little bit later I'll share more about that. During the 2 months we were there, the Word of God and the promises in His Scripture became alive and life-giving to me. They were no longer words on a page, but they were things that I personally experienced. Even as outlandish as some of His promises seemed to be, they were true. And he showed me during that 2 months that they are true. I'm going to pull up that next slide. Tumen, that's how it's spelled in Russian, was founded in 1586. Besides being the gateway to Siberia, it was also the gateway to the Russian prisons later on in the history of the Soviet Union. So I thought it was pretty significant that God sent us to a city to set the captives free, to an area that had been, in some cases, almost the final destination for a lot of prisoners. They would never come back from Siberia. While we were there, as I said, we distributed 50,000 copies. The other main purpose was to hold crusades. We did that for 4 nights. And at first night it was kind of discouraging. I think there might have been 100 people there. But by the last night, there were almost 1,000 people in that auditorium. And 800 of those people that had attended on one of those nights had filled out a card saying to the best of their understanding, they received Jesus as Savior and Lord. One of the things that we were able to make connections, we did find 3 churches in that city. One of those churches had been an underground church for over 70 years. The other 2 had been formed within just the last year. So you had one that was a fundamental church, one that was a charismatic church, and one church that worshiped in a large home. And when you walked in to that worship service, the power of the Lord was so mighty that it was like you had to force your way in. I've never seen anything like it in my life. There was a reverence for the Lord, an awesome, not fear in the wrong way, but an awesome fear of God that so often nowadays we see missing. Those people there don't take that for granted. When you dodge communist authorities, some of them were people that were probably 70, so virtually all their life, you know that your life is on the line anytime you go to one of those meetings, and you could end up in a prison. So they were willing to sacrifice their lives because of their commitment to the Lord. Thumb through my pages here. Scripture that comes to mind is Ephesians 3:19-21. And this is my wife's favorite version, so I put this one in. This is out of the Amplified. I like the more concise ones, but she likes to add and embellish. Probably beyond the Amplified. You can all read it. And that you may come to know practically through personal experience the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled up throughout your being to the fullness of God, so that you may have the richest experience of God's presence in your lives, completely filled and flooded with God himself. I'm going to flip to the next slide, Marnie. Now to him who is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly more than all that we dare ask or think. I'm going to stop right there. God did things that were beyond what I could think or imagine during that 2 months, and he continues to do that. And I'm sure many of you, maybe all of you, have experienced that in your lives. And this is one of those things that in my mind highlighted that verse. As the week was winding down, it was Thursday, most of the group, that was going to be their last full day there, so they went about the city doing the tourist type thing. We knew we were going to be there for almost another 2 months, so I asked the interpreters if they could take me to the local TV station. This is not something I thought of long in advance. It was like God gave me this thought. And I thought, well, the worst thing they can do is say no. Many of you are probably familiar with the Jesus video that was put out by Canvas Crusade for Christ. It, at that time, had been translated into over 300 languages, one of which was Russian. And we had taken 10 copies of that with us. We didn't know who we would get those to, but my wife felt it was an absolute necessity as part of spreading the gospel. So God told me, he said, I want you to go to the TV station and ask them to put this in their programming. Well, I talked to John Brewer, who was basically the representative for Life Publishers, who coordinated the whole trip. I asked him, John, do you know if there's ever been any success in getting a Christian video or any type of material on public TV in Russia? He says, no. He didn't know of any. I said, well, in spite of that, what do you think this would cost? And the video is about 2 hours long. So he said probably in the neighborhood of $1,500. Well, there were 40 people in the group. So I figured, you know, there was enough money available to do that. So the interpreters took us over there that Thursday morning. We walked up to this facility. All around it, wrought iron steel fence, 12 foot tall. One guard station. Nobody went in or out without passing through that guard station. So we went up to the guard. I would say a sentence in English. Interpreters would translate. So this went back and forth for about 10, 15 minutes. Of course, the guard, he didn't want anything that would complicate his life. So every answer was yet no. We were almost ready to leave. And this lady walked up behind us, heard the last few sentences of the conversation, and so she started asking the interpreter questions. Of course, the interpreter knew everything I had to say, so they had this two-way conversation. Finally, after about 2 minutes, this lady said, well, come with me. I'm the secretary for the president of the TV station. 2 or 3 minutes later, we would have been gone. This wouldn't have happened. God's timing is perfect. So she let us in. The president was in a meeting. So we took a tour of the TV station. Marsh is probably familiar with some of the equipment from the 1950s. That's what they had. They hadn't upgraded anything. So they were very proud of it. And after about 20 minutes, the president was done with his meeting, so he invited us into his office. And they were all very hospitable people. So in the process of the conversation, I explained that we'd been there for a week, what we'd done, distributed the copies of the Book of Life. Then I got to the point, and I said, we're here this morning. Let me back up just a little bit. He gave me some information. He said their viewing audience was 3 million people. I thought, whoa, that's amazing with the technology they had that they could reach that many people. So he talked a little bit more and said their viewing audience had been surveyed and that the vast majority, over 90% of the people, wanted quality family programming. So I honestly said to him, this is the best family programming you're ever going to have, that you'll ever show on your TV station. And so I asked him, I said, is this something you would be willing to show? And he smiled, looked across the table and said, yes. So I continued the conversation after a little bit more, and I asked him, how much will this cost? I told him it's 2 hours long. And he looked across, smiled bigger, said, we'll do it for free. So needless to say, when we left, I don't know if my feet touched the ground. I couldn't believe what God had just done. And I know now that people were praying for situations like that. They may not have had specific knowledge. Maybe they did. Some people do. But it was the power of prayer that opened the doors and allowed for that to happen. The next day, we headed out to a little village. I forgot to mention that the pastor and his wife that met us in the dining hall wanted to know if there was anybody in the group that could go out to his village and minister. We said yes. So he came in the next day, met us, and we made a trip out to this little village. And I don't know where I am in my notes. But anyway, probably the next map of Russia. Yeah. Okay, you can see in the middle there's Tumen. And that black dot, that's not Omsk, but it's the little village of Lenka. It's about 250 miles away, village of 800 people, about 50 miles from the border with Kazakhstan. You drive across the agricultural fields on cow paths, sometimes roads. You know, we talk about chuck holes. I mean, they have chuck holes big enough you can chuck a cow into it and it'd disappear. But we arrived, and it was like turning the clock back at least 100 years. If you want to go through some of those other slides, Marnie, that's one of the main means of transportation. In this little village of 800 people, there was one motorcycle and two cars. Most of the people still traveled, if they had to travel outside the village, by horse. And the next slide shows a typical little house. And the streets, you can kind of see the sheen on it. They were dirt sometimes, mud most of the time when it rained. And if you ever wanted to increase your height, all you had to do was walk down the road 100 feet and the gumbo would stick on it at least 6 inches. They had to, at that time, the next slide, the pastor had only been there about a year, maybe a year and a half. And the congregation had grown from zero to 60 people. And they met in an office, very small office that was cramped. You'd see mostly elderly people. There were some younger people. But this is a city that time had, or village, that time had forgotten. I'm going to go to the next slide, please. While we were walking around the village, we stopped at this one vacant lot. The pastor's wife was a member of the church, so I think she strong-armed her husband into donating this piece of property to the church so they could build on. You think, well, that's pretty amazing. Well, you can't see it here, but the roads, streets around it are about 3 feet above it, so anytime it rains or snows, all the water goes right into that vacant lot. We stood on that lot and we prayed that God would provide. The pastor had a vision for a church, and he shared that with me in several conversations while we were there. Told me the dimensions, 30 feet by 60 feet, two stories, so about 3,600 square feet. And as we continue to walk around the village, I want to show that next slide. This is some of the materials that they'd purchased. Now there's about 3,000 bricks in that stack. The pastor said it would take between 100 and 120,000 bricks to build that structure. The people in that church, it doesn't seem like a lot of money, but they had given monies, ladies had sold jewelry, and they had raised $750. Well, in our conversations with people in the congregation, we found out that most of them worked on corporate farms, didn't get paid actual money. They got paid produce or whatever was raised. One lady who was a nurse got paid $15 a month. So $750 was a huge sum of money for them. But they had faith. They believed that God would provide. So before we left, we tried everything. It was in the middle of the summer, and everybody travels by train because that's the cheap form of transportation. We did ride a train from St. Petersburg to Moscow. That whole trip cost us $4 on a train. So we had tickets to fly back to Moscow, and we tried every way we could to get train tickets. We had one young gentleman that we shared our vision with, and one afternoon he climbed through the open window of the railroad company's office trying to get tickets for us. Needless to say, that didn't work. So we gave what we could. We left, and there was no assurance that God would continue to provide funding for that church. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. One of the things that happened, I was contacted by the local Ministry of Education to go out to a camp, children's camp. And they asked me to go out there, check it out, and give them kind of a review, an approval, because they knew that there were about 50 high school, college, career age Americans coming from Arizona, Oklahoma, to one of the camps. And this camp director went all out. I mean, this would have been a feather in her cap. So they picked me up, took me out, fed me lunch, and I said, this is a great facility. It was amazing. It was, at that time, they had been what they call pioneer camps, where most of the children would go out in the summer, have a time of recreation, but also be indoctrinated into communism. So I went there, didn't hear anything, didn't know what happened. In August of that year, after we got back, probably the end of August, in 1993, I got a call from a gentleman named Brian Stafford, who was an Assembly of God pastor from Deming, New Mexico. And he told me that he was one of the adults on that trip. And there were about 200 Russian children in the camp that they ministered to, and every one of them accepted the Lord. And he said, I'm going back. And I told him, okay, before you go back, let us know. And when you go back, you have to go out to this little village. And I told him about Pastor Michael. I said, you will be incredibly blessed. And when you go, we want to make sure that you have funds that you can take to them so they can continue the construction of that church. So he did that both in 1994 and 1995. We hadn't heard anything, and it was about 2 weeks before Christmas in 1995. We had a letter that came in the mail. Our address was in English, but the letters inside were Russian. We didn't know who it was from, had no idea what it was about. I opened it up. I said, okay, we were fortunate. We had a lady that lived half a mile from us from Russia that interpreted any correspondence we got. There was a picture inside the envelope, little 3x5, was a group of people standing out in front of a building, and I thought, okay, that's somebody we met when we were over there. Stuck it back in the envelope, and this wasn't the audible voice of God, but I knew that I was supposed to take another look at that picture. So I pulled it out and instantly recognized where it was. Now, we won't go back to the slide, but if you can remember the slide when we stood on that vacant lot, there was about a 6-foot tall wooden fence in the background. Okay, you want to pull up that next slide? Oh, there it is. Okay. Didn't think much of it, and it's hard to tell because it's so dark, but if you look clear over to the left edge, just above the snow line, is that 6-foot tall wooden fence. That's what God had built. And the letters were an invitation to come back to the dedication of the church. So in June of 1996, we made another trip to that little village. Go ahead and show the next slide. That's the church. You can see the wooden fence in the background. As we crested the edge of the fields and dropped down into this little valley, the church is the first thing you see. I walked around it. The first question I had for Pastor Michael is, where did you get all the money? And he said, we only got what you sent. And I talked to other men that were in the contracting business, showed them this picture, told them the dimensions, asked them, what do you think this would cost in today's dollars, in 1994, 1995? They said between $125,000 and $150,000. And I knew roughly the amount of funds that they had to work with was $7,000. In John, John's the only one in his gospel that talks about the little boy with the loaves and fishes. And they're described as small and how God multiplied it. God can multiply anything. His hand can be on anything that we offer. And that's what happened over that 2.5-year period. I'm going to share one last test part of this. And let's, I think it's James 5:16, the next verse. Maybe not. I'm probably way out of order by now. Anyway, it talks, there you go. The heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man, believer, can accomplish much when put into action and made effective by God. It is dynamic and can have tremendous power. That church is just one example, but I'm going to end with this. After we made that first trip out to that little village in 1993, we came back to the city, to Maine. We had a family that had adopted us, and they would have us over almost every night if we chose to do so. We got in early on a Monday morning after a train ride overnight. They snuck us on as Russians, which is quite a feat when you look at my wife with her red hair at the time. Didn't look like the normal Russian at all. So we got back, and we had laundry to do, and so we pretty much hung around the hotel. The next day, Tuesday afternoon, this family had us over for dinner. My wife, well, all of us were still really tired, so we left instead of the normal midnight or 1 a.m, we left about 8 o'clock. Went back to the hotel. walked up the stairs, and as I'm unlocking the door to the hotel room, my wife said, I think I'll turn the TV on. Well, I thought, this is really strange. You know, she doesn't understand more than a handful of Russian words, and everything is in Russian. So we turn the TV on. Now, this is 5 days after we'd been to the TV station. The president said, well, it'll probably be 2 or 3 months before we play this video. Nope. When we turned the TV on, the Jesus video was on that day. I just sat there with my mouth open in unbelief. They played through that entire video nonstop, never broke for commercial. At the end, the narrator says this, they scroll through the words, the narrator says a sinner's prayer. And then he invites the entire audience to do the same thing. So this ran for 2 hours nonstop. When it was completed, I wouldn't say we were in unbelief because we saw it, but it was just more than we could think or imagine. Now, many of you are familiar with Paul Harvey, the rest of the story. And I think I got one more map there, Marnie. Oops. That's a God's eye view of the little church in Leningrad. It actually shows up on Google Earth. Okay. Now, you can see Tumane. You can see Krasnoyarsk. Krasnoyarsk was the city that the other church group from Northern California were ministering in. And like I said, at the time when we checked through customs, I didn't think much of it. While we were in Russia for those 2 months, we would call home. Linda had two of our children. Pastor Noble had one of them. And just to let her know, we're still alive. Are you still alive with two of our kids? You know, I think she had the harder end of it. So we called. It was a Saturday morning over here. And talked to Linda's mom for a few minutes. And Pastor Noble happened to be there that morning. And Linda's mom said, well, Pastor Noble wants to talk to you. So he got on the phone and had some small talk, and then he asked the question that there's no answer to, guess what? And I said, I have no idea. So he continued on explaining that he had received a telephone call from the pastor of the church in Northern California, whose group was in Krasnoyarsk, 1,000 miles away. Okay, give you some idea of geographical comparison. That's like going from Lewiston, Idaho to Tucson, Arizona. Okay. He received that phone call. And in his discussion with that pastor, the pastor shared with him that the people in Krasnoyarsk, 1,000 miles away, had received the entire TV signal for the Jesus video, nonstop. Is that possible, Marsh? It's not. I've talked to other friends and they say, well, maybe you'll get bits and pieces once in a while, but it's going to be chopped up. So, something that's not within the realm of possibility. God had made a way. One of the first things I did when we got back here, home, had a World Book Encyclopedia. I knew the normal viewing audience was to the north, towards the Arctic Ocean, so I didn't count that in the rest of it. But I took all the cities within a reasonable bandwidth, from Tumane to Krasnoyarsk, added up the population of those, and didn't even account for possible spread from that narrow band. Added normal viewing audience, and potentially 15 to 20 million people could have seen that Jesus video that night. So, in conclusion, I'd like to encourage all of us, myself included, seek the Lord with all your heart, like Henry said. He will give you the desires of your heart. And nothing is impossible with God. Thank you.